Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
God's word is real, brethren. It's real. One of the biggest problems, people will take some scripture and they feel like they're following God. They take scriptures and they rebuke with the word of God and they're absolutely in grotesque error. I mean, gross error. They quoted the Bible to somebody and they're in error doing so. To recap on something very briefly, just to bring you to a thought, I took time to bring the scriptures to you about a man that borrows money. You remember the scriptures? And then there's a man that lends money. And I find so many times the man that borrowed will use the scriptures that were written for the lender. He's in error. He can't do that. Just as well as the one that borrowed or lend, he'll take the scripture of the borrower and he'll use that. And he's in error. Can't do that. Even though the scripture's yea and amen and it's right, but there's a proper time that you could use the scripture and use the word. You know, the Bible talks about praying amiss. The major interpretation for praying amiss is you're praying for your own gains in your own self in a selfish way. And those prayers aren't heard. I teach continually how to get God's attention in this church. I teach it and preach it continually. The thing is like I said, I could go out here on this sidewalk with a man, 73 degree day, perfect, beautiful, blue sky, big puffy cumulus clouds up there. And man, I could walk out there and feel the sun on my face, and the gentleman standing with me could feel the sun on his face. Get a fresh aroma of the spring time air and the blossoms and the things coming in. He is using the sense of smell. Man, that's nice. Using the sense of feeling, he can feel that somebody has no eyes. He's blind. I could do everything in my ability to explain to him what that blue looks like in that sky. And you say, you're colorblind, but I might have a better chance than you do. I will have to say that I'm guilty of questioning myself of my ability as an orator, as a speaker, as a pastor, as a teacher. Because I come, I expound, and I teach, and I speak, and I say, and I see blind waywardness in people, personalities. It might be you today and tomorrow will be different, depending on the mind you're in, your thoughts, and such. I find that dealing with mankind, it's more prominent today than it was years ago, but they're in a victim mentality and a victim mind. Some, you hear of these conspiracy theories, and there's people that are so eat up, they're so sure that man never walked on the moon, and it's just the government robbing the people of their money, and they done it all in a little warehouse over here in Area 51 in Nevada, you know, or whatever, okay? An airplane goes by, and you know, it's got a vapor trail on, and the government's poisonous. They've got, I'm telling you, there's people that believe that. A little sister that was here in this church not too long ago, she posted that stuff and believes those kind of things. I just happened to used to be in an aerial application business, and I know an airplane putting something in the atmosphere at 30,000 feet, you know, it's not going to ever touch this ground around here nowhere. Maybe that guy over in Europe better be watching out, huh? But it ain't going to even see the ground around here. But they're just foolishness. You say, well, why are you speaking to that, bro? Because people are in the same ignorant theologies. And they've got these ideas about the Bible, about the Word of God, about faith. And they absolutely have never got the key to having faith. Brother Pike wrote a book called The Key to Having Faith. You know, and let me tell you, I've been preaching these messages about the Pentecostal church with their substitutes. For the real, you know, and well, this is what the anointing is. You know, I was in, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this, but in the 80s, I was in a Benny Hinn meeting. And he does this, and throws his arm like that, and all the people fall over their chairs, and they're all over the floor. And I'm standing there like this. And I look over to my left, and I look over to my right, and there's only two of us still standing. I guess it's my hard-headed wife. She's in the same mind as me. All them other people's in the mind of God, Brother Rob, you hard-headed thing. I should have went up there and said, let me show you what the power of God is. And I should have took my fist and hit him said, now there's the power, brother. No, I'm, you know, y'all, people, man, they don't know me, and they'll tune in, hear something like that. They say, I'm out of here. You know, and that's okay. Goodbye. We love you. You know, go watch Mickey Mouse and then come back next week. You know, whatever. You know, and I've seen that kind of foolishness too. I was in a closed-door meeting with ministers only. One of the head speakers was Kenneth Copeland. I wouldn't even go in the same room with the reprobate now. I didn't like him then either. But I was asked, because with a bunch of ministers, a whole bunch of us went off to this meeting. I don't know, 300, 400, 500, 600 ministers there. You think, man, that'd be such an awesome thing. I was nauseous. And all the ministers I was with at this meeting, they're thinking, man, this is so awesome, Brother Rob. Man, what'd you think? And I'm thinking, I'm glad to be going back home. You know? You say, you got a problem, Brother Rob. You know, you can't say that all of them were wrong and you're the only one that was right in that building. I didn't say that. But I'll tell you what, it wasn't right. There's things that weren't right. I know you've heard stories about some of these old-time preachers and taking their fists and knocking tumors off women, kicking babies off of a platform that fly out into the floor 10 feet and hit the ground, that were crippled and couldn't walk and hit the ground, come up walking and talking. You know, those things have happened. They've been recorded. But let me tell you something. You see Brother Rob kicking a six-month, eight-month, or whatever, a year-old baby, and it's going to go 10 feet, you better hope I'm in the Holy Ghost. But you know, a lot of these things, this Todd, whatever his name is, what is it again?
Bentley.
Thank you, Bentley. And he doesn't have a doctor's degree in front of his name. It's called Reprobate Todd Bentley. Got him another wife, put one away, and got him another wife, and she put her husband away, and she ain't nothing but a whore, calls herself a prophetess. And this isn't my intentions today. I'm just sharing some things with you. The church world is in a mess, and people follow after these bunch of reprobate perverts. And they'll listen to their teachings and all the foolishness. The church world is in dangerous condition. But that's not my problem. My problem is right here conducting and pastoring a church, and people that, as I said, I could go out there and stand on the deck and talk about the blue sky, and they don't see, and I question myself and my ability to explain. You know, it's very difficult to bring somebody into a revelation. Very difficult to bring them into an understanding. You know, and we've done this. We have. We've got very successful reports of men and brethren making life alterations and changing and pressing into the kingdom of God. We have real fruit here, people being sanctified. You know, the minister sent for the perfecting of the saints and bringing a doctrine of sanctification in and seeing modifications, alterations, changes, transformations of people's thinking. And a lot of times the biggest problem with a man is just the way he thinks. The Bible says that he will give you the fruit of your thoughts. And there's many people that don't have the proper thoughts. And then they get the fruit of it. The misinterpretation of faith is so misunderstood by many Christian people. As I said, they have counterfeit. Many times they think that we've had many motivational speakers that teach on the power of positive thinking. And many Christian people parallel that with faith. There's a little bit of truth to that statement. Because if you're poor mouthing it all the time, and you have a negative confession, and you're just, oh, it ain't going to work, we can't do it, we never will, yeah, you've got a problem. But just because you say the right thing don't mean it's going to come to pass and birth faith. It didn't say that Enoch was, you know, walking around, man, I'm not going to die, 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 praise God, I'm not going to die, 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 I'm not going to die. That's not what the report said. That may have been a confession of his, yes. But the Bible said that he walked with God and he pleased God, amen? That's why he pleased God. Now, could I say that to put faith into action, or as I said, Brother Pike, you know, has this writing of, you know, key to having faith. Could that be one of the keys to having faith, is maybe pleasing God? Would I be wrong to make a statement like that, to please God? Now, if I'm not pleasing God, can I have faith? Can I make excuses in my life and the things that are displeasing to God? And then, now listen to me, and then make excuses for all these different kind of things and then think that I'm going to be able to apply faith and it's going to happen and work? I've had so many people come to me then and have spoke to me with a matter of fact. How many have heard this statement before? Well, I know that I know that I know, brother. I know that I know that I know. And you know, I think that's wonderful. We should. And I'm surely not mocking that kind of a statement of a positive confession. Probably one of the most important things that you need and I need is faith. See, but we talk about the religious order having a counterfeit. Somebody will say, what is your faith? I'm Methodist. What is your faith? I'm Baptist. No, that's not nothing to do with faith. The Bible said there's one God. Amen? There's one faith. But then I can differentiate faith. Well, you said there's one faith. I said there's one God. And I say Father, Word, Holy Ghost. Let me read some scripture to you. Let's go to Jude, the first part of this, first verse in Jude 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly contend. Let me ask you a question. Have you earnestly contended for the faith? You see, we can have a faith for a need, but there's a faith that goes so far beyond that. I know that if we even go to Hebrews 11 and start reading about faith, we saw that there were needs for people, and God met those needs by faith. It wasn't through just a positive confession. There was something else that was being applied. We talk about one story of Enoch. He pleased God. And there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you think the only way that you could deny the Lord is by just saying, I don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's so wrong. It goes much deeper than that. You know, people will say so oftentimes, you know, I love God. I love God. I love God. But then yet they deny Him in their actions and their works and their attributes and everything about Him. You say, well, Brother Rob, don't take the simplistic approach out of God's Word. You know, let's don't take this, you know, how simple salvation is, and, you know, don't make it too complicated for people to serve God. Well, brethren, there must be some complications that are going to have to be applied somewhere, because I see the whole generation that we're in on their way to hell. I see that all of humanity is lost. And I see that the church has been overthrown by the carnal mind, taken into captivity at Satan's will. You know, if it was just an isolated problem, we heard a little story here and there, but it's all around us. It's all around. We see so much of it. Verse 5. I will therefore put in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Come on now, this is the Word of God. He saves them and then turns around and destroys them. What are you, double-minded, God? You know, don't misunderstand me. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I can see how my thing. You know, He was merciful. He knew what was going to take place before it happened. This is where people don't understand the doctrine of predestination. Verse 5 again says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation, He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, and set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Boy, there's a lot of people in that condition. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bringing against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts. In those things they corrupt themselves. I'm going to back up and comment. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to say something real quick about verse 9. And we're going to go on down. I want to get on down in the scriptures a little farther. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." I've heard that scripture really taken out of context also. You know, there's places in the scriptures where you rebuke, reprove, exhort. There's places where it talks about the man of God thoroughly equipped to rebuke. There's places that Jesus rebuked. I can take you to those places and read them to you. The apostle Paul went to Peter and rebuked him to his face. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love, and it makes others fear. I tell you, a man that's got strength could receive some rebuke, and he'll receive it. And he'll take it and grow in it. But it could be helping another man right over here. But I tell you what, when my dad pulled that belt through them loops and you hear it popping and he was after my brother, let me tell you, man, I was walking in attention. Yes, sir. Hey, man, I told you when my uncle knocked my cousin out of the chair for not using a napkin. Man, that's the most proper little fella you ever seen after that. He didn't have to tell Brother Rob to use his napkin. I waved it as a flag of surrender every time. I got real polite and my etiquette was in order at that table. I've had so many times I rebuked an elder in a men's meeting before the brotherhood. I was an elder myself. I was put in as a pastor. And then another man failed his duty and they put five other ministers in to keep order in the church until they put him in a pastor. I was assigned and put in by my pastor that had went on. But I rebuked the man openly in the men's meeting. And he was an error, and gross error. And he went around all the brotherhood saying that I was an error. I rebuked an elder. And I absolutely was not an error. Wasn't one error in it done. I submitted to the brotherhood, and I told him. I stood before him. I said, "Brethren, if I'm wrong, y'all in the same mind. You're indoctrinated by the same man of God." I said, "Tell me, this is what this men's meeting's for." And then the brother went around gathering minds. See, when I find that happening, if it's through social media, if I find it through telephones or out with men working on the jobs and they get and they want to discuss things, well, this ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right. That ain't the place to do it. And if you have a man like that on your job, you need to stop him. Say, "Look, brother, this ain't going to happen on my job." You know, if you got a disagreement or something with the work of God, then take it to the pastor. Take it to the brotherhood. Take it to men's meeting and deal with it. And when a man's out there undermining that on the job, I could tell you what Brother Pipe would say about it. He'd call him a coward, is what he would call him. "Well, I'm bold enough, I'll do that." Well, praise God. I like that. Let's go on for a moment. We're going to get on down here through some scriptures. Amen. Verse 10. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and those things they corrupt themselves." I hope you understand that. I've seen people, I'll just use a little quote of what Brother Jesse said, and you might not see that collates or with it that right there, but he said, "A man with bitterness will be eating poison, hoping the other one dies." I love that explanation because that's exactly right. When you think that you're justified to have bitterness, when you think that you have been wronged in such a way to have bitterness, or you're just harming yourself, the one that you feel that you're justified because you think they've done you wrong, do you think God is going to purposely send somebody to you to do you wrong? This great, merciful, loving God that you know? Sure he will. What do you think he sent Judas for? I ministered a message not many months back. God had to have a Judas, brother. Come on now. He had to. I'm sorry, but he had to. I don't want to be Judas. You know, but we could yield to the carnal mind, as Peter had the keys to the kingdom now. And Jesus said, "Get you behind me, Satan." Why? Because he yielded to a mind who was savoring the things that be of the flesh. That's why he got rebuked, because he was savoring the things of the flesh. Do you know what that means? Have you savored anything of the flesh today? We all have. I've said it openly many times. I said, you know, Brother Rob would have been getting rebuked the same way. I would have been reproved, I know. "Well, I'm not going to let that happen to you, Lord." Was Peter Satan? The Lord, is he a liar? He was dealing with the Spirit. And he allowed through the carnal mind to take his mind in captivity, and he spoke, savoring the things of the flesh. I'm not going to let this happen. The Lord knew he had to go down that trail. He fought with the same thing himself in Gethsemane. He had to deal with the same thing. You know, if this cup could pass, please. If this cup in any way, but nevertheless, Lord, let your will be done. Sometimes we forget to do the nevertheless part. Let your will be done, Lord. Sometimes we savor the things of the flesh and we find ourselves being reproved just like Peter was. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Lord, we surely don't want to do that. And ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Have we considered our fruit? Have we looked at it? Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Strong exhortation here. My brethren, this is what is amongst us on a daily basis in our lives. We've got to recognize this mind, this enemy, and we've got to deal with it. What are you saying? Is that, are you talking about a man, a personality, a woman? What are you talking about, brother? See, brethren, the Spirit has got, we've taught and taught and taught on this. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. I want the Holy Ghost to move in me, to have his way in me. I want him to speak through me. I've got another voice in there of my own will, my own desire, my own flesh, my own ambitions. And we've got to learn to conquer that and put those down. This is why Peter, why the Lord said, get ye behind me, Satan. Because he was savoring the things of his desire, his wishes, his wants. But the Lord knew that he had a course that he had to meet and had to go. And then all of a sudden, now the guy that's supposed to be with him, walking with him, with the Lord, all of a sudden become an enemy to him. He's going to hinder this. Let me tell you something. The Lord tells me, okay, you're going to go out here and they're going to really beat you up good. And you're standing here next to me saying, no, we ain't going to let that happen, brother. I'm going to say, yeah, I'm with you, bro. You go out there for me. No. Amen. So the Lord said, no, we got to stop this right now. He knew what the will of the Father was. Amen. It was in his spirit. He knew he had to go that route. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers. He just talked a little bit earlier about what he did with them to come out of Egypt. These are murmurers and complainers walking after their own lust. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Word of God's rich, brethren. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Amen. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Both now and ever. Amen. Now, brethren, so as we always find when we're trying to indoctrinate or teach or help, encourage, preach, however, We find that we're always differentiating two minds. If we really get right down to the revelation of the Lord and understanding the things of God and the Word of God, the medical field, the doctors would say that we're schizophrenic. They would. You know, you go to the doctor and say, "Hey, doc, listen, sir, I've been in this really terrible argument." "Well, with who?" "Myself, sir." "You know, sir, I really want to do many things. You know, I have these desires and feelings and things of these things that I want to do, but I keep finding this other mind saying, you know better than that. You know, touch not that unclean thing. Come out of there." And you know, sir, I'm wore out. I'm tired." He goes, "Well, we've got some medicine called, yeah, we're going to start you out on 50 milligrams of this, sir." Amen. You think I'm kidding, don't you? And you say, "Well, Brother Rob, I don't have those kind of problems, warfares, thoughts and things, you know." And I said, "Well, praise God for you." Amen. But every one that I find teaching these scriptures and the Word of God, they found that they was in a continual warfare. You know, when the Bible says to gird up the loins of your mind, it says bodily exercise profiteth little. But it didn't say girding up the loins of our mind profiteth little. And I find that men fell in their thinking and in their mind. Maybe, Brother Rob, you ought to go get some Zig Ziglar CDs and teaching on the power of positive thinking. It might help some of you. I like what Brother Pike said about it. He said their power of positive thinking is the negative mind of Christ. And see, you would never think of that as a man. Now, in the dimension of a man, there's some very profound things in thinking properly. And actually, it is a biblical truth and a biblical fact that we should have a positive confession. The Bible said we should be thinking on the things from above. Now, the thing is if I think on the failure, I've already failed. But if I think on the finished product or the end of the matter, faith bringing the substance of the things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. I used to say oftentimes, I'd say not yet seen. And I was speaking a positive way in faith, because it will be seen if it's faith. It'll come to a manifestation of sight, a manifestation of substance. It will. In this dimension, in this realm. I want to go just a little bit farther here this evening. I might have to go to some more scripture. I wanted to read a little bit out of here because there's this mind that continually struggles and fights and robs, kills, steals, and destroys, and makes people miss the mark. It hinders them from pressing their way into that perfect man, Christ Jesus. It causes them and hinders them to contend for this faith. If this faith was just some simple, mere little expression of a positive thought, then why would this brother say to contend for the faith? Why is it a struggle? Why is it a fight? Why is there another mind that is always opposing against this life or mind of revelation and the mind of faith? So I could say, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and my King and my God and my Savior and my salvation. So I'm automatically saved. But do you believe that? Do you have faith to believe that? Brother George was in a group of men, and he looked at his brother and he said, "Brother, do you really believe that you are God's?" And he asked him, "Do you really believe that?" And he said, "Nah, I don't think you do." Does a God think differently than a man does? Most definitely. We can go into the scriptures and we could find that through the mind of Christ to let this mind be in us, and that mind is totally different than your mind. Your mind is selfish. It's always about you, your wants, your needs, your desires, everything about you. And if you got any opposition, a little bit of suffering, anything like that, you're all out of whack. It just shows that you're in another mind. That's not the mind of Christ. And you say, "Well, can I have faith without the mind of Christ?" Absolutely not. You have to have it. You have to have this mind to have this faith that believes in God. How many people actually, you know, there's many people that will have a profession of faith, but it doesn't manifest. Why doesn't it? Maybe they wasn't pleasing God. Let me ask you something. With your believing and you're trusting God for whatever it is, it might be for a healing, it might be for substance, it might be for the salvation of one, and you're really believing and you think that you really got your faith set to believe for this thing. I sure don't want to hurt faith. I don't want to hinder nobody's faith here tonight, by no means. I want to encourage you in your faith. But then yet, is there certain things that could be done that could absolutely remove God from this equation or from this circumstance? Do you realize that there's things that I could do that would absolutely tie God's hands? We have the power to bind and to loose in heaven. Okay, now I know you're going to get this little picture of me tying God's hands up, but we can absolutely tie God up that he cannot help us. I can't make him not help you. I can get upset with you and I'm going to pray that God just does this. Nah, that ain't going to happen. Now, I know that there is the power to curse, so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But is there something that I could do to absolutely make it impossible for God to move in my circumstance? Yes. Absolutely. There's been times that God has used people, and he used them in a way, but you could not let them know that, because what they were done was an error. But God used them in the error. They thought they were doing God a service. The Bible said they'll put you to death thinking they're doing God a service. There are things that you can do that'll absolutely close the doors of heaven, and God is absolutely, it would be that he cannot be involved in the situation. Let me give you a couple of examples. I could, through fleshly anger, fleshly animosity, fleshly grievances, fleshly attitude, fleshly mind, fleshly bitterness, fleshly anger, and I could take action against somebody that I think's wronged me. And I take and retaliate with a critical vengeance, with a hatred, an animosity. And I could take and do that, and God says, well, you've took this into your own hands. And he steps back out of the way. There's people that have wronged me so terribly bad, and I was silent as a lamb to the slaughter. And then, you know what? I actually could remember praying and saying, please, God, show mercy. I've never prayed and asked God to put somebody in hell. You know, I don't think that way. I don't even like to entertain those kind of thoughts. But there's some that are killing people and could be guilty of killing people. And maybe the proper way to pray is saying, God, you know, turn them over to destruction. You know, let Satan destroy them. You need to be careful when you start going in those realms and things of thought. But I have been wronged and went silent about it and watched God move in, and you think, gosh, and your heart goes out. Let me continue on for a moment more. I won't keep you long tonight, and you might think that we're rambling here and we're not making any, you know, headway or whatever, but no, I'm telling you that I'm dealing with things, brethren, of people that have mistaken a positive confession into faith. A positive confession is very much a part of faith. The whole church world has taken a positive confession. I know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and God, and I ask you in my heart, I repent, I'm a sinner, and they say, you're saved. Now see, they said the right things. I say so oftentimes, the seven sons of Sceva said the right thing. I adjure you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ. They said the right thing, but, you know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? So it's not a magic formula. We can convince ourselves in a positive mindset, well, I know that God's going to do this, and man, God ain't going to do nothing. Oh, but I believe. You do? Do you have fear and trembling with your belief? See, the last thing I would want to do is make things difficult for you to get a hold and trust God in faith and in believing. I want you to have faith in God. I want to teach you what it means to contend for the faith. I had a pastor that weighed 605 pounds because I was Assembly of God when I moved to town. This circus monkey was the pastor in Assembly of God Church. So that's where I went. That's disrespectful, you think, but he was a liar and a thief and a cheat. But he would pray, I got faith, God's going to remove the calories out of this. Well, where's your faith at, my friend? Gorge down a cake? Irene made, some of you have had her egg rolls, and she usually would make, when all my children at home sometimes make 50, 100 of them at a time. Man, she made this big old plate of egg rolls. And I was passing through hometown, you know, had a pilot with me. She made this big old thing and said, I remember this pilot asked her, and he goes, you know, like, you know, we're sitting down for dinner, like, wow, what are you going to do with all those things? And then all of a sudden, ding dong, the doorbell rang. This man was 6'8". And when he'd stand behind the pulpit, he put his hands out like that and looked like he was reaching side to side that church. But it's a big man. It's a giant of a man. But he was obese. He came in, and we had to take and put two dining chairs together for him to sit down in. I wanted some of them egg rolls the next day, you know. Two in this hand and two in this hand, and boy, went to town. But he had faith that God would take the calories out. I didn't see that happen. See, faith moves in you in obedience. There will always be an action in you. You could pray until you take your last breath and be asking God to move, and you're not doing things according to the Word of God, He'll never move. I was involved in a business, and the Lord told me, He spoke to me very clear. I said, Lord, I've been pressing. And your word says that when you draw nigh unto you and press, you know, and these things and resist the devil, he fleeing. I said, why isn't he fleeing? He spoke to me just as clear as this. He said, I will never flee. I was pushing against God. But I was saying, I was thinking it was the devil. I was thinking it was the devil that was blocking and pushing. But God's saying, he goes, I'll never move. Hey, let me tell you something. If I want to wait until I'm gray-headed, I'm already getting there. At the time, I didn't have a lick of gray hair. But I mean, he's thinking, hey, a day to me is 1,000 years. If you want to sit here and push against me, man, I'm really stable here. Yeah, I got all day. Yeah. And I mean to tell you, it absolutely, I mean, it just took the wind out of my sails. Wait a minute, I'm pushing against you. How many times do we think that we're pushing against the devil and the devil's fighting us, but it's God? I watch it very clearly. I've learned a lot of things over the years following God and watching God. And I see people think that they're in the will of God, and they think that they're God's in supporting them and doing this and that, and he ain't even nowhere around. Nowhere. Some people seem to move out of compassion of others, but it wasn't God. It was the compassion of a man, not the compassion of God. Most people don't really even understand. And, you know, I'm talking like, I know I sound insulting, like I'm talking to you like you don't know nothing or believe nothing. I don't feel that way about you. But sometimes, brethren, we can have people that are so blind and so sure and so confident and so overconfident, and God's not even in the arrangements. See, you could move by compassion. I've ministered a message, and I don't know what exactly entitled, but I would have entitled it, you know, human compassion versus the bowels of compassion, differentiating between the two. You see, I could have a brother walking disorderly, John Doe, and I say, look, John Doe, it's time for you to leave. Amen? And I say, it's time for you to go. We put people out here more than once. And then you, with your compassion, your human compassion, you go to them. Well, I got the love of God and I feel sorry for him. But you become an enemy of God. And you could think that you're helping this individual or doing something, but you are bringing destruction and damnation on your own head. And you think that you're so spiritual and think that you're moving by the Spirit and you've got compassion. I've been rebuked more than once saying, well, I got compassion. I got love. As a man told me, I said, no, you can't do this. He said, but I'm a soul winner, he told me. I said, brother, you're an heir. Don't do this. And I said, I'm telling you as a pastor, do not do this. And he said, but I'm a soul winner. I said, don't you come to me and tell me you're a soul winner. I said, you're not the man for the job. He ended up in adultery. But he was going to retaliate against the mind of Christ and the minister of the gospel. I'm nothing, brethren. But if it's God speaking through me, they need to take heed to what's being said. But they get overconfident, they get arrogant, they get lifted up in their own mind, thinking that they're something when they're absolutely nothing whatsoever. And then they will rebuttal with the scriptures and rebuttal with the word of God. And they're absolutely 100% in grotesque error of the mind and of the word of God. And God's hands are tied and can't do nothing. Nothing whatsoever. See, I watch the Spirit of God. And when I see the Spirit of the Lord move, I move. Amen? If he's not moving, I can't move. You say, well, I'll move and I'll get him moving. Well, he's always gone before me. Amen. But I do know this, that you've heard me teach things, that sometimes we got to make that first step. The priests were sitting there with the Ark of the Covenant and the Jordan. The Bible recorded that it was beyond its banks. They would still be sitting there on the beach today, waiting for that Jordan to part. But they moved by faith in God, believing, and they made an action of faith, and they took off with a positive action to go forth to do what they were told to do by God. And he said, they were sent, brethren, and when they got there and their feet touched that Jordan, it parted and they went across and the people went with them. You've heard me say, Moses, when he led these 3 million people out into the wilderness there, he didn't wait to get a dispatch and a radio message that the Red Sea parted. He didn't say that there's a train load and a new Super Walmart out there. He took them out there and God met the way in the going. Amen? There's an order in God. And once we cross that order, he cannot do anything. We shut him up. We tie him up. I told you the carnal mind has the power to bind God. Now, I know this is going to cut some people, and they say, absolutely not. But as I always say, you're going to bind God from moving in your life. You will never bind God from blessing me. You can't bind him in that way, but I'm saying that you're binding him from blessing you. He can't bless you because you bypassed his ordinance. You bypassed his word. The Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. And when you deviate from his plan and his word, it is impossible for him because you make his word a lie. You understand that? You make his word a lie. And if he blesses you when you're in violation of his scriptures and his word, then you're going to make him a liar. And the Bible said, let God be true and every man be a liar. So you could quote, you could speak, you could say, you could do, you could this, you could blame me, you could blame everybody, you could blame Christian Temple, you could blame God. It don't matter. There's only one person in error, and that's the one that you look at in the mirror. And you violated the word of God and the scriptures, and you closed the heavens up. And what you have to do is repent before the Lord. The people of America, the youth of America, have turned into a victim mentality. You go into the prisons, and most of them are in there because they're a victim. Well, you know, I was done wrong, man, the district attorney, man, da, da, da. No, you're a scumbag, and you needed to be in there. And if you'd face up to the music and say, you know what, I'm here by the ordination of God. Thank you, Lord. I need to repent of my sins and get right with God. Then God could get on board and start helping you from that point. Man has got to take the responsibility. There were inexcusable according to the scriptures and the Bible. We're inexcusable. Amen? We got to take things and say, okay, I'm the problem. It's not my mother. It's not my father. It's not my upkeep. It's not my raising. It isn't, you know, this or that. It is absolutely, you know, let me say this. How many people do you know that have come out of nothing and made very powerful entrepreneurs business-wise? Some of us like that little sauce, sriracha. How many of you like that stuff? Y'all know what it is? Well, this was a little guy that got basically put out of his own country. and ended up on a boat as a refugee and showed up into Central California down there. And now he's got one of the biggest businesses. You know, so what am I saying? Well, that I was faith in God? No, I'm just talking about, brethren, if a man could do that, I don't know what his, he might be a Buddhist. I don't know what he is. Okay? But what I'm saying, if a man could do something like that, what can you do with the mind of Christ? You see, I'm a pastor. I don't pray for faith to make you move. I pray for faith to make me move. And then you move with me. You understand that? And I could sit around and pray and think, well, you need to do this and you need to do that and somebody else needs to do something and I ain't going to do nothing. That's not faith. That's ignorance. And it's ignorance. And when you get involved in that, God stops. He says, hey, I can't help you. I can't move for you. I can't talk to you. I can't do anything for you right now because you're defied my word and my scriptures. See, faith isn't human compassion. Human compassion disgusts God. It really does. You know, you hear people say, well, you know, I have to try tough love with my son. I got to try tough love with this person. You know, they use that kind of an expression. Well, that's just tough love. Well, many times it's following the scriptures and the word of God. And we got to stay with it. You can call it tough love. You can call it tough hate. I don't care what you call it, but I'm going to stay with the word of God. To be properly right with the scriptures and the word, I'm going to stay with the Bible. Now, we could take and quote Bible and say I'm with the word, but we're out of order with the word. You know, I started out talking to you about the people that will use the scriptures for lending to the borrower or vice versa. You know, Brother John, I got a payment I got to make and, you know, give me $500. Could you help me with $500? Man, I'll get it back to you in a couple of weeks. He'd say, man, Brother Rom, I'll do whatever I got to. I'll come up with it some way. A couple of weeks goes by and you know, well, man, I set my truck payment off. And I need that money. You said, have back to him. Oh, man, you should have lent it to me without any expectation in return. John, what's wrong with you? Aren't you spiritual? You know better than that. You're supposed to lend to me without any expectation in return, John. I can't wait to preach Sunday. I'm going to wear you out. I would be in gross error. Absolutely 100% gross error. Quoting the scriptures and telling him that. When could I apply that kind of a scripture, Brother Ron? When I'm not the one that was borrowing. You understand that? How come it's when your need is, then you look at me for the bowels of compassion and tell me because I'm not meeting your needs that I'm closing up my bowels of compassion? When were you exercising your bowels of compassion? And why would I even think such a thing? When is that scripture applied? Is that scripture applied when you're in need? See, I need money. And so I'm going to apply the scripture to John that loaned me money and say, don't expect it for return, buddy. You see, I'm in gross error. So then I start talking to somebody that has bowels of compassion and tell them you don't have bowels of compassion because you're not helping me. Come on now, brethren. What is that? That is a misuse of the word of God. You're taking it, praying amiss, and praying for your own gain. Let me tell you something that you can't stop from happening. You can't bind God from blessing me when I'm walking in obedience to Him. You cannot pray and curse me in any kind of way when I'm walking in the Spirit and led by the Spirit of God and fulfilling the Word of God and walking with the Spirit of God. You can't harm me. You can't touch me. You can't lay anything to my charge. You can do nothing to me when I'm walking in the Spirit. But if I'm not in the Spirit, I'm walking in the flesh. And I'm quoting my Bible while I'm walking in the flesh. You could say a lot of things and you could do a lot of things and it's absolute nothing but sounding timble, vain, vanity, vexation of the Spirit. That's all it is. You see, if your home has turned into a den of thieves and robbers and witchcraft, I'm not going to let that happen in my home. Do you understand that? I won't let that happen. I'm going to order my house. And I'm trying to be merciful, try to work with people the best way I can. I'm going to close right now. You can stand to your feet with me if you like. And I'm going to say this. Contend for the faith. You can see, if you have faith in God and you have faith and true, genuine faith that He's going to meet a need for you in your life, He will. when you got genuine faith that you've contended for. But sometimes you think you're contending for faith and standing and fighting against the enemy, and the devil's fighting and pressing, and the devil ain't even nowhere near. And it's nothing but God stopping, because he cannot help you in the condition that you're in. He cannot move. It violates his scriptures and his word, and he cannot move. Pray and trust that the Lord will help you to unveil. You say, Brother Rom, why do you speak parabolically? Well, Brother Pike told me this. He said, minister from the sacred desk, and that all could take. And he said, and then people could be spared and protected when you deliver to a few people. And they, if they're perceptive to God, they will take heed and hear the word. If they're perceptive. And he said, then they make the alterations and changes. If that don't work, then you know, sometimes you got to go to rebuke. And open rebuke and things. And I think you all know I can do that if I need to. But brethren, let's be careful. Amen. We all want to have a ministry. Okay, amen. And remember, your business is your ministry. It's the Lord's. Everything you have, everything you own, everything you touch should be God's. So if you have it, guard over it, watch after it. If Randy Gilbert comes on my jobs and defiling my jobs, I need to talk to Brother Randy and say, Brother Randy, please don't do that. If it's Ed, if it's Pete, whoever it is, please don't do that. You need to guard over your people and watch over them. If they're playing the wrong kind of music, run them off. If their conversations are not properly on your jobs, you need to reprimand them. If they don't line up with it, get rid of them. If people are poor mouthing on your jobs, you need to straighten it out, put a stop to it. We're not looking for employees and employers. We're looking for sons of God. And we're giving them a vision, and we're out there trying to reach people. We're taking, the Bible said that you labor for you have to give. You don't labor for you can support yourself. You labor that you have to give. And when you're giving, you're supporting yourself. Amen. When you're giving unto the Lord. And you say, everything's about the church, ain't it? Everything's about God. Amen. You're the one that's selfish. No, you're so wrong. Let me tell you something. Amen. I don't unveil things. So oftentimes I leave them kind of covered up and veiled. People would think, honestly speaking, they would think that I am a poor businessman in many things that I do. Because I know the business mind. I know how it operates. I know how it thinks. And many times the mind of Christ is totally different than that. Brother Pike had a $100,000 need, didn't he, Brother Pete? And he had about $30,000 toward the $100,000 thing that was coming due in a few days. And the devil started harassing him, saying, hey, preacher, you got yourself hung out now, don't you? You're going to reproach the ministry. You know, you lied to that man. You're going to reproach this and that. And you know what he done with the $30,000? He went and spent it. He said he knows how to shut the devil up. He thought the devil was going to make him clutch his fence tighter around that. You ever seen people that they can't afford to do something for God, Brother Randy? You know why they can't afford to do something for God? Is because they said that last week too, and the week before, and the week before. And they'll never be able to afford to do anything for God. You cannot afford not to do anything for God. You got to be available for God. You want to set your faith for God to move for you? Then start moving for God. Amen. Come on now. If you ain't moving for Him, He's not moving for you. Well, I don't believe that. You took the mercy and the compassion. He's not ignorant God. Amen. If you, Brother Ed, are a sluggard and you're lazy, you won't make yourself available. You could pray until you were blue in the face and tell Him to take care of you and stuff. And He's going to sit there and say, boy, you're getting skinny. And He's going to laugh at your calamity when you're starving to death. Right. Your God that you're praying to is going to laugh at you, brother, because you're ignorant and you're defying the Word of God. And you think you're going to make Him feel sorry for you. And this God is so compassionate, somewhere He's going to feel sorry for you. And He's just going to bless you. No, it removes Him from His Word. He takes the talents away from you, Ed. He'll take your talents and He'll give them to the other guy that's working. And you'll sit there and poor mouth him and poor mouth his people and poor mouth God. And it's all you, brother. Amen. That's the Word of God. Amen. And same to you, little sister. And same to you, little sister. She's getting ready to get married. You know, well, this is all about me and Sambo. It's all about my house. And what are you doing to help me? That don't work, brother. It don't work. The sons of God, let me tell you, The more that you're in need is when you need to be out there doing something to get his attention. I'm going to just give you one little example of the scriptures. The poor little widow woman, brother, she just had just a little bit of meal, just a little bit to feed her and her son. And then it was going to go and die. Just a little bit. Oh, the big God's got to have so much compassion for me. I'm just going to hang on to this. But you know what she did? She yielded to the Spirit of God and gave everything she had. And she never lacked, brother. She didn't lack. She did not lack. You see, that's faith. That's faith in God. Faith in God puts you into places that you have absolutely no way of making it work and making it happen. And you're there and you're laboring as unto God. And God moves in your behalf. Then you sit and make the wrong statement and do the wrong thing and say the wrong thing. You closed up heaven. You say, I don't believe that. Well, go back in the scriptures that we just read and find out to the very ones that he parted the sea for and brought them out of Egypt and brought them out in there. Brought him out into the wilderness, and he took and went through all that pain to do that for him, and then he took and killed him. Yep. Come on now. This is that great God of compassion. I wonder if they felt like there was compassion when the earth opened up and swallowed him up. Oh, he's merciful. He's compassionate. He's long-suffering. We hear those scriptures over and over, and I believe that, brother. That's why I got breath in my life. Amen. I hear people say, you know, praise God, I got breath in my life. Well, there's a lot of people going to hell with breath in their life. I praise God for the spirit of life. Amen. Amen. That's dwelling in me. The day that this old breath of life quits and it's temporal, I got spirit life that's eternal through all of eternity. Amen. Brethren, I'm just trying to speak some things to say, listen, you better make sure God's on your side. You better make sure God's moving for you. And when you start declaring faith and you start speaking a positive confession of faith, then you better make sure that you're in the will of God and you're in the scripturally will of God. And when you violate his word, you could be speaking faith until you're blue in the face and God will not move for you. Don't violate his word. Stay with the word. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a song or two.
Jesus, use me.
That's my desire for the Lord to use me. Amen. Is that your desire, saints? I had to go through so many learning curves to learn how to let the Lord use me. I spent a good part of my life feeling like I was in the will of God. Busy as could be. All the observers watching my actions, they really thought I was too. But I found out that I wasn't. Oh, I did things and made accomplishments and saw souls won. But I was not in that perfect will of God. And sometimes he does certain things to slow you down a little bit. You might be zealous, as the Word of God teaches. You know, the zeal of thy own house eats you up. You'd be so zealous, boy, and it looks like you're burning the fields for God. And Satan will even convince you that you are burning the fields up and you're the one. And you're nothing but a thorn in the flesh of God himself. And you grieve the Spirit, become a stench in his nostrils. Amen. I've been there. Amen. I speak out of an understanding. What we have to do, sometimes we want to please God by thinking that we're doing what he wants us to do. And sometimes you might be doing something that would normally be pleasing to him, but it isn't, because he's got something else in store for you, possibly. And sometimes he'll ask you to do things that seem so peculiar, like, Lord, and he wants to make sure you're following. Lord, I know where I'm going, and I go to the stop sign here and turn right, and he says, no, I want you to turn left. But Lord, wait a minute, this is a very familiar path to me, and I know this is the right way, and he says, no, I want you to turn left. And I know you think this is foolish, but I've had him do this to me. Remember the story I shared not many days back about Brother Pike out in the boat? Oh, but Brother George, listen, I studied this Loran, I know it, and we got to go this way. They're out there, no land. No land to see. You know, are you sure? And he said, look, I took time, said, this is the way we got to go. And he said, Brother George said, no, go this way. And they went out there and found some boys out there that their little boat got away and they drifted way out to sea, scared to death. But a man said, you know what? I'm going to go and follow the mind of God. But Lord, I know how to go. Where I'm going is to turn right. And he said, no, go left. You might find a soul going down there to the left. And then he said, you know what? I appreciate your obedience and listening to me. And he might translate you. And you beat the one that went to the right. Huh? Yeah. I'm telling you, God's ways are peculiar to man. And God's ways aren't man's ways. And when you get intellectual in your mind and you think you got God all sized up and reasoned out and you're going to do this and you're going to do that and he's going to do this and he has to do this for you, come on. God's going to move for his word, brethren, every time. And don't forget, line upon line, you can quote his word to him as the devil himself quoted the Bible right to Jesus, to his face. And he said, but it's also written. It is also written, he said. So when you bring your scriptures and your word to justify your ignorance and your stupidity and your lack of understanding and your overconfidence, I'll just simply smile and say, praise God. But it's also written. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Brother Lambert, why don't you come up and sing a song or two? Amen with them. Altars are still open. So thank you, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord. I appreciate you tonight giving me adequate time to fellowship with you, talk with you about the Lord and the Word. Souls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.